may be just another day, this last Sunday of 1985, but look out. There may be a trick or two. Fate may have something tucked up its sleeve, a little curve to throw at you. You never know. It's never just another day. K-Rock. Fact is fiction and TV is reality. No, we're not. We're not immune. Nobody is immune. 18 minutes past 10 o'clock on this Sunday morning. I'm Vince Kelsa. Last Sunday of the year, 1985, right? Been here now for, just a little under or over 3 months, just around 3 months, I guess, we've been doing this now on K-Rock on Sunday mornings. We've been doing it from 10 to 1. Starting next Sunday, our hours change. We start this program an hour earlier, and we'll be on at 9 a.m. from 9 a.m. until noon, so it will be a real Sunday morning show. We won't go past noon starting next. And this will be a test for all of the faithful out there, all of the true believers out there, all of the people who really do support the Vince Kelsa Sunday Morning Show. This is putting you to the test, you see, because you got to get up an hour earlier now to listen. It doesn't bother me all that much. I rather like it. I'm an early morning riser anyhow, you know. But for you guys out there, I mean, I hear all this all the time from people. You know, I missed the show Sunday because I couldn't wake up. But you couldn't wake up? You couldn't wake up by noon? What's so important that you couldn't wake up by noon, you know? We're going to put ourselves to the test starting next Sunday here for the Vince Kelsa Sunday Morning Show. Yeah, I'm in kind of a serious, funky mood this morning. I know I'm going to work my way out of it, but I'm going to work my way out of it by being serious for a little while here anyhow. We heard from Oingo Boingo, a song called Just Another Day from their most recent release, and The Who with Another Tricky Day. No social crisis here. Of course, U2. I think we'll be hearing a couple of more tunes from that U2 album throughout the program. Certainly New Year's Day. We'll play that one a bit later on in the show. But for right now, Sunday, Bloody Sunday. From U2 here on 92.3 K-Rock. We've got this commercial work. What else do we have to do here? We have the weather. Do we know what the weather is? It doesn't matter. It's a day. It's another, just another day. That's what those songs are all about. It's sort of gray, and it's supposed to be partly, we'll make the weather up this morning. Sunny and warm, temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. Should be a good beach day today, this last day. Just, you know, make it up. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is. There's still a little bit of snow on the ground out there in the infamous northern and western suburbs. So what happened to me? See, and I figure we should talk about this because I know this happens to many people at this time of year. I got into my holiday funk. Now, my holiday funk usually doesn't start until the holidays are over, but this year it started earlier. This year it sort of started, Christmas night. the melancholy, the depression, the funkiness. And it has no reason, you know. Because everything's going along really, really wonderfully well, you know, and you're having a marvelous time, and everybody's happy, and there's no terrible, tragic thing in our lives, you know, to make us be funky. I mean, there are people certainly at holiday times or whatever who have things that, you know, should rightfully be making them sad and depressed or whatever. But there are so many of us who suffer from this holiday funk. I've been trying to combat it over the last couple of years by, for instance, not even like watching holiday specials on television, you know, like staying away from all the movies, all the ones that are guaranteed to tug at your heartstrings. Not watching It's a Wonderful Life. Now the Alistair Sims Christmas Carol was back this year after being out of circulation for a couple of years, and I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it on purpose. You know that I was one of the people who discovered and helped to make the cult that grew up around It's a Wonderful Life? Are you aware of that fact? It's true. You don't believe me, do you? All right. Well, hold on a second here. It's back in the early 70s. I started talking about that movie, and I began getting phone calls and letters from people saying I thought I was the only one who was into It's a Wonderful Life. And then all of a sudden, I started talking about it, and then a couple other people started talking about it, and then all of a sudden, like, public television got involved, said, It's a Wonderful Life is a great movie, you know, everybody should... I was responsible for that, it's true. I know you think that I'm fooling you, but nobody, I mean, when you stop and think about it, there's a, and now, like, every channel shows It's a Wonderful Life. You know, Jimmy Stewart and old Clarence the Angel. But I avoid it now because it just enhances the horrible feelings of melancholy and depression, you know. Because all that stuff just conjures up these images of some kind of other world, some kind of idealized world. I mean, that's what A Christmas Carol is all about, you know, that idealized world of Dickens, the Victorian England Christmas. And we don't live in that world. That's not our world. And if we attempt to approximate that when we celebrate our holidays, of course we're going to be disappointed. Of course we're going to be unfulfilled, you know. But I was riding through like my normal holiday funk when all of a sudden, bam, all this terrorist nonsense started happening, you know? And I'm reading the papers yesterday about this horrible stuff in Rome and Vienna, you know, an 11-year-old child and a little girl standing at a counter. And it just totally destroyed me. It absolutely, totally destroyed me. As it should all of us, you know, as it should each and every one of us. And the danger, of course, is that with all of this stuff, we're going to go, Rome? Wasn't that last week? Didn't they bomb the airport or shoot up the airport? Wasn't that last month? Wasn't that last month's terrorist attack of the month? Well, what was last month? Well, that was a plane. Oh, and wasn't that the boat last month? Was the boat last month or the month before that? When did they kill the guy and throw his body off the boat? When was that now? 2 months ago? When was the plane in Egypt? Well, you know, it's like, and the danger is that we're just going to let all this stuff slip right over us, slide right over us, and we're not going to pay any attention to it anymore. And God damn it, you got to pay attention to it. There's this insanity at large in the world, and there ain't a single solitary one of us who are safe from it, not when a little 11-year-old girl in an airport in Rome... this totally innocent little child who's got nothing to do with anything or anybody. And all those other innocent people in that terminal and in the terminal in Vienna or people on a vacation on a boat in the middle of the Mediterranean or people traveling from here to there. You know, not when totally innocent people who've got nothing to do with any of this nonsense can get blown away like that. And you got to stop, and you got to think about it, you know. And you got to look at Winnie Mandela in South Africa. You got to look at the fact that in South Africa, this week, reported incidents of violent death were something like 70 or 75 reported incidents of murder in South Africa this week, Christmas week. And that's with all sorts of government censorship of news. So who knows what's really going on there? What's the real word in Johannesburg, you know? Oh, I know. You don't want to hear this. I know it's bumming you out. I know that's not why you tuned in this morning. I know you're looking for T-shirt and Razu Kelly, and we'll get to T-shirt and Razu Kelly a bit later on. The Razu flag is definitely flying this morning, but I just gotta work this out. You know, I gotta work it out for myself and for my friends, and that's you guys out there. You just can't ignore it. Can't ignore it anymore. Carl Rowan the other day, syndicated columnist. I guess it was Christmas Day. His column was entitled, Winnie Mandela Offers a Gift to the World. Says, and I paid tribute to Winnie for her brave defiance of the racists who have forbidden her to talk to the press, to live in Soweto, a sprawling Jim Crow ghetto outside Johannesburg, to appear at social events and public forums. She has said to her oppressors, kill me, imprison me, try what you will, but I shall cry out. This woman's Christmas gift to all who cherish freedom is her demonstrated willingness to bear a cross or be nailed to one in her pursuit of justice. Just as her husband refused to leave prison under a deal where he would come to peace with apartheid, So she refuses a deal under which she would get a trifle more physical freedom in return for keeping her mouth shut. This has brought jackbooted security forces to her home, where they recently manhandled and bruised her and arrested the white newsmen who were interviewing her. But this grandmother refuses to knuckle under. "I hope she knows," wrote Carl Rowan on Christmas Day, "I hope she knows that she is not just fighting for the futures of her grandchildren, but that she is giving something precious to your offspring and mine." So here's a Christmas song, and this is a Christmas song that I'll play for Winnie Mandela and for the victims of terrorist attacks and for the victims of nature's eruptions, the victims of mudslides and volcanoes and earthquakes. The Christmas song that has some dated references, but if you change some of the specific historical references and update them just a little bit, you'll find that it's probably a most appropriate Christmas song. It's a tune that was written and recorded a number of years back by Laura Nero.
The heartlessness. Lost in the back of love. don't know for sure, because the news we get is unreliable, man. Yes, I